morning and welcome to Changing the Way the World Ages with Home Care Assistance. My name is Rachel, here with my co-host Laura, and we're from the local office on Cedar Crest Boulevard in Allentown. Home Care Assistance is the Lehigh Valley's premier provider of in-home personal care services, allowing the area seniors to age in place. You can contact us at 484-350-3874. Email us at info@hcalv.com or visit our website at www.hcalv.com.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for listening. In a little bit, we'll be joined by Stanley Vasiliadis, who is a certified elder law attorney and has a lot of great info to share this morning. But right now, we're going to do a little Q&A. We have questions that listeners have emailed in, and our first is from Mary P. Mary says, a close friend of mine is in her early 80s. She's in pretty good health and able to care for herself, but she's alone most of the time and can't get out very often, especially during the winter. Does your company have caregivers that can just provide companionship and transportation for this type of situation?
Yes, Mary. Adding a caregiver to your friend's routine is a great idea, and our caregivers can certainly accommodate companionship and transportation, whether it be daily or for just 2 or 3 days a week. Many don't realize the importance of socialization and how it plays into overall health and wellness, especially cognitive health. We have many clients who've been able to remain active due to adding a caregiver to their routine, so they can get out walking, shopping, maybe to the hair and nail salon, art classes, to lunch at favorite restaurants. The list really goes on. If it wasn't for a caregiver, it may either be too unsafe to enjoy the activities alone, or there may not be a way to get to them.
Thank you, Mary. That was a great question. The next question we have is from Andy. Andy says that his sisters and he are looking for a caregiver for their mother, and friends have said that they should look into hiring a private caregiver because it costs less. He asks, is this true? And what does your company provide that we can't get with a private caregiver?
Andy, the number one reason would have to be peace of mind. We interview, screen, do reference checks, run a criminal background check, ensure a clean driving record, and have proof of them passing the PA competency exam for each and every caregiver. When hiring privately, you would need to do all of this for yourself and pay the fees associated with running those background checks. Furthermore, we take care of the payroll taxes and deductions as well as workers' compensation and liability insurance. With a private hire, you run a greater financial risk if the caregiver gets hurt while working in their home. So overall, when using an agency such as ours, the rewards far outweigh the risks and the costs.
Thank you for contacting us, Andy, and we hope to hear from you again soon. Okay, Bonnie J. asks, can a caregiver do lawn care?
Bonnie, we actually get asked this question very often, and our caregivers have varying areas of expertise, but what we offer is non-medical direct care, and there are certain tasks that lie outside of those duties. So while we can assist with things like gardening, our caregivers may not mow the lawn or trim the trees, and as far as indoor tasks, we can do things like dusting, laundry, running the vacuum, cleaning the bathroom, but housekeeping should only account for less than 20% of the time that we're scheduled to be there. So if you need ceiling fans cleaned or windows washed, hiring a cleaning service is going to be your best bet.
Okay, next we have Randy asking, what are the differences between what you offer as home care and an assisted living facility?
The biggest and most obvious difference is being able to stay at home. 90% of seniors say they would rather age in place in the home that they love instead of moving to a facility or community. The next biggest difference is the one-on-one care. In a facility, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services released a study that found that 25% of assisted living facilities had a ratio of one personal care attendant for 23 or more residents. We're not saying that this is the case everywhere, but it's impossible for a community or facility to do a one-to-one ratio, which is exactly what in-home care can provide. So at Home Care Assistance, we also match the caregivers with the clients based on personality, experience, and schedule, and maintain consistency in staffing so the same caregiver or caregivers, depending on the number of hours or days that are needed, that are there on the regular schedule so the clients can build a bond with their caregiver. We feel this is very important for the companionship aspect of care.
Okay, and we have time for one more question before starting our guest segment. This one is actually a few questions in one. Stacy said that she was on our website and read that we can provide both hourly and live-in care. She asks, how does live-in care work exactly? Does the caregiver move into my mom's house? Does this person live there indefinitely? What happens when the caregiver needs a day off if they live there?
Stacey, those are all really, really great questions. Live-in care is the number one alternative to assisted living. So referring back to the previous question, again, it allows for your loved one to stay in their home and get one-on-one care. As far as scheduling the live-in cases, the seven-day week is split generally between two caregivers. One caregiver would stay for 4 days and the other caregiver would stay for 3. So they're not packing up and moving in, but rather staying overnight for a few days at a time. It is required that the caregiver gets a mostly uninterrupted rest period of 8 hours overnight and has a space or a room other than the client's bedroom to sleep at night. But that being said, if the client requires assistance overnight to the bathroom, perhaps a medication reminder, the caregiver can be called upon for that assistance as needed.
Great. I hope that clears that up for you, Stacey. And we love questions, so keep them coming. Submit your questions to info@hcalv.com. If you've just joined us this morning, you are listening to Changing the Way the World Ages with Home Care Assistance. If you're unfamiliar with our company, Home Care Assistance provides high-caliber in-home care to seniors throughout the Lehigh Valley. In addition to email, you can call us at 484-350-3874 for more information, or visit www.hcalv.com to learn more about our services. In addition to providing home care, we want to be a resource to local seniors and their families. So I'm really happy to introduce today's guest, Stanley Vasiliadis. Stanley is a certified elder law attorney as accredited by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. He is also a longtime member of the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys, charter member of the Academy of Special Needs Planners, and past president of the Pennsylvania Association of Elder Law Attorneys. Stanley successfully litigated the landmark elder law case, Mertz versus Houston, and has received numerous awards in his field, including the Excellence in Elder Law Award by the Pennsylvania Bar Association and recognition as a Pennsylvania Super Lawyer by Philadelphia Magazine every year since 2005. His firm is located in Bethlehem and serves clients in the fields of estate and long-term care planning and trust and estate administration. Stanley, that is quite a list of accomplishments. We welcome you to the show.
Good to be here, Laura.
Thank you so much. I'm going to start out with a basic question. What is elder law, and why is it important for those to seek an elder law attorney as opposed to somebody who does a more general practice?
Well, Laura, elder law is what we lawyers do to help protect quality of life for people, physical, emotional, and financial, in the event of chronic incapacity. So it's not strictly older people, but any persons of any age who become incapacitated long term. We're lawyers. We work, use legal measures and tools. But our focus as elder law attorneys is on more on the group of people as opposed to the type of law. So that means we need to identify people like yourselves who provide housing and assistance, financial planners, healthcare professionals. It's kind of like a holistic approach. It is a legal specialty. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court recognizes certain areas of the law that are legal specialties. Elder law is one of them. That's what being a certified elder law attorney. It's kind of like a physician that's a board certified physician that has a higher degree of experience in education. So it's very important because a lot of the nitty gritty of what we do in regarding long-term care planning is really not a skill that many attorneys have unless they have special training and experience. You can call yourselves an elder law attorney, but that doesn't mean you really have the skills and can do the things that we do as certified elder law attorneys.
Very good, understood. And how long have you been practicing in this field, and what made you want to practice law in this field?
You know, that's a good question. About 25 years ago, my wife's aunt Irene, a lovely old lady, fell down and broke her hip. And after a long convalescence came in to live with us. She lasted 3 days before she broke her hip again. I wish we would have thought of people such as yourselves. We could have had protections in place where that might not have happened. But she ended up, long story short, 7 years in the Leader home, lost everything that she and her husband, her late husband, had spent a lifetime accumulating. And I watched it month by month, year by year, and I didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And I said, gee, there must be something that we can do for people like that. It's too late for Aunt Irene. It's not too late for our clients.
That's a, I mean, very sad story, but wonderful that it led you down this path to be able to help others in that situation. What are some examples of issues that seniors face that they may not think to contact an attorney about? They might be thinking, oh, this is too trivial to bother an attorney about, but it would really benefit them to do so.
Well, I don't know about people thinking it's too trivial. These are very important issues to family members, but people don't realize that what can be done. Real quick, I talked to a gentleman a year ago. His parents had come in to me 10, 15 years earlier. I'd done powers of attorney, healthcare, financial wills, provided powers of attorney that were good tools for using and protecting assets in the event of long-term care. Well, years passed, wife died, husband ends up in a nursing home, spends 3 or 4 years in a nursing home, goes completely broke, and then after he dies, the son called me, saw that I had drafted documents, and had a question about an issue that came up, and I said, why didn't you come to me earlier? Your father spent $300,000. I could have protected easily $175,000 and still enabled him to get the Medicaid benefits to pay for his care. And the son said, well, I thought once you're in a nursing home, it's too late. And it didn't occur to me that anything could be done. And so people don't realize the benefits that can be provided if they come to a qualified elder law attorney.
I think that's a really good point to make. People are being told, you must go here, we need to do this. They're not fully aware of all the options available to them, and they just don't know the questions to ask. So you mentioned in answering that last question about important tools for long-term care planning. Can you expand on that a little bit more, what other tools there may be and what questions people should be asking?
Yes. But let's define what we're talking about by long-term care planning.
Okay, very good.
That's for what happens when you're alive as opposed to a will, which is what happens for after you pass away. Not to say that wills are not important, very important. But long-term care planning is our services that are provided to help meet personal needs of individuals who become incapacitated over a long period of time. People that need help with something that you're all familiar with, activities of daily living, bathing, dressing, toileting, eating, dressing, continence, those kind of things. People who are not, those are people that are in nursing homes. People who need what are called independent or instrumental activities of daily living, housework, managing money, helping with light housekeeping, the kinds of things that your clients need. Those are services, long-term care services as well. So you and I, we're really in the same business.
Absolutely.
We have the same people that we're trying to help in different ways. We as lawyers use powers of attorney, very important tool. If you're incapacitated, you need help to manage your finances, to arrange for health care. Powers of attorney for financial affairs, very important to have a good comprehensive power of attorney for financial affairs, as well for health care decision making. And if we then focus in on protecting assets and qualifying for benefits, we use trusts. All kinds of trusts are out there. There are certain types that are particularly effective in the case of long-term care planning, and then we use a lot of those as well.
Okay, very good. So what would you say, well, for example, what would happen if somebody is in a nursing home and their money does run out?
Well, you know, that's a real crisis. in terms of not only health care, but obviously financially, because, and many people may not know this, Medicare and health insurance do not pay for long-term care.
Right. Right.
Medicaid, which is not the same as Medicare, Medicaid does pay. It will. There isn't anybody that can't afford Medicaid. It will pay for as long as you need it with any time without any time limits or dollar limits. But the catch is you've got to be broke.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it works is when you're broke, whatever your income is, whether it's nothing or whether it's substantial, but not enough to pay $10,000 or $11,000 or $12,000 a month, mm-hmm. every month, month in, month out, you pay whatever your income is over to the nursing home and the government mm-hmm. will make up the difference. So what we do at our firm, at Vassilionis & Associates, is we use those legal tools to help people qualify for Medicaid and oftentimes also for veterans benefits, very mm-hmm. helpful for people at home
mm-hmm.
who need that extra $1,000 or $2,000 a month. And we use those legal tools to help them not only qualify for the benefits that they need, but without having to pay over everything that they spent their lifetime accumulating the way my Aunt Irene did.
Right,
yes,
right.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I think it's really good to point out that Medicare and regular insurance does not necessarily pay for nursing homes because, one, obviously Medicare does not pay for our services either. We are private pay, or we may be able to kick into veterans benefits or long-term care insurance benefits. But a lot of people have the misconception that a nursing home is going to be covered or it will be more financially feasible than home care. And that's something that people need to realize. We can be affordable. So.
Yes, and one of the other things, and we didn't talk about this, is there are financial products out there. Now, we're lawyers. We don't sell mm-hmm. insurance or advise on investments. But we do point people in the right direction. There are long-term care insurance mm-hmm. that could be considered. Mm-hmm. There are the hot new thing are hybrids, certain types of life insurance and annuities mm-hmm. that can be converted into long-term care benefits. That can help people pay for that care at home or an assisted living. And really, most of the people that need long-term care are at home mm-hmm. or in assisted living.
Right.
And many do end up in nursing homes. But, you know, if you want to pay for care at home and in assisted living, you need to look at those financial products. And we help people, and we talk about that actually in seminars that we do at our workshops at our office, and we cover those issues and talk about those financial products as well as the legal tools. Plug, if I may, for our firm,
we're
doing
right
these. We do them from March through November, and we have later in the month we're going to do some morning and evening programs, the 21st and the 22nd of March, 21st in the morning and 22nd in the evening. And again, Tuesday morning, the 28th, and Wednesday evening, the 29th, hour and a half programs, very helpful. We provide a lot of good information, and we have the opportunity to expand upon what we're talking about here.
Wonderful. I'm going to go back to something that we mentioned earlier about the landmark case that you had litigated. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, what that involved?
Yes, yes. Mertz versus Houston. Back in 2001, that was litigated, federal court case where we had an issue, and this becomes a problem sometimes, where the Medicaid programs, which are administered by the states, are supposed to follow federal guidelines because the federal government will pay for a little over half of the cost.
Mm-hmm.
But the federal government does not run Medicaid, it's the states. And sometimes the states that implement the programs don't want to follow the rules that they're supposed to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't have lawyers, and they basically don't know that they're being deprived of their benefits and their rights. And there was a planning strategy using immediate annuities that was sanctioned under the law, which Pennsylvania refused to recognize. And we had to go into federal court to win that case and to allow people to use that tool, which to this day is a very, very helpful tool.
Excellent.
Very good.
We have just a couple more minutes before we start to wrap up. So tell us, what would you say is the most important piece of advice that somebody should take away from this program today? And then tell us again how people can get in touch with you if they want to look for information on your seminars or come in for a consultation.
Probably the most important takeaway is to know that it's not too late to legally protect your assets in the event you're facing financial impoverishment because of long-term care. So many people simply fail to realize that and to contact us. Call us. We can help. We're at 610-694-9455. That's 610-694-9455, elderlaw-penn.com.
Very good. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Stanley. We've really enjoyed having you as a guest, and it's very important information for people to know.
Thank you, Laura.
We have many more great guests that are going to be visiting with us in the coming weeks, and we're going to feature topics such as home modifications to help enable aging in place, veterans benefits, financial planning, and long-term care insurance, which are a few things we've touched on today. We can kind of expand on that a little bit, and much, much more. So now it's time for our weekly caregiver spotlight with Rachel.
All right, wonderful. I'm going to put the spotlight this week on our caregiver, Yahira Colon. She's been with our company for 3 years. Her youthful energy and positive outlook is definitely enjoyed by many. She's very responsible and reliable, and with her kind and polite disposition and soft manner of speaking with her clients, she always gets glowing reviews. She excels with companionship, range of motion exercises, and our clients always love her cooking.
Yes.
if you're interested in joining our wonderful team, you can give our office a call at 484-350-3874 or apply online at www.hcalv.com.
Okay, we hope you enjoyed this week's Changing the Way the World Ages with Home Care Assistance. Again, for more info, visit www.hcalv.com anytime. You can also connect with us directly by calling 484-350-3874 or emailing us at info@hcalv.com. We also hope that you'll get social with us. Find us on Facebook, Home Care Assistance Lehigh Valley, or on Twitter at HCA Lehigh Valley. Thank you again for allowing us into your home this morning. Until next week, take care.